Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Silicon Valley After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Stick around because we may or may not have 40 minutes worth of snowboarding videos set to Diplo remixes. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, Silicon Valley After Show. I can't even talk.
I should check my mic, right?
Is that check,
right?
Check. The music in this show is so good that I feel like I'm blaspheming it by talking over it.
Yeah, but even the theme song is fun.
It's great. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Silicon Valley. Today we're talking season 4, episode 5. Episode 5, called Blood Boy.
Yes, it is.
Because we met a new character that we're so excited to get into. Before we do that, guys, my name is Jeff Graham. If you guys want to find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham on Twitter. And I have an amazing panel to my left.
You dick. You Please. Dick. Fuck you. I'm Christian Blatt, at Christian DMZ. Just wanted to get right into my favorite chair.
Really, you know, this is the best job I've ever had. What's going on, AfterBuzz? This is Nate Miller. You can find me at social media at DogLikeNate. And I'm also on the Better Call Saul After Show, too.
He's smart. I'm not smart enough for Better Call Saul, so I'm on the Silicon Valley After Show instead. And you know what, though? For a comedy, this is a pretty smart comedy.
Yeah.
It features pretty smart people.
And Blood Boy, who is not very smart.
I think smart is a very good way to describe it, though, because they have a perfect balance of that slapsticky, like, just silly stuff, but also a lot of jokes that, when you think about it, it's like, oh, that's really, really funny.
For sure. It's very layered. I feel like I'm not smart enough to even be able to multitask listening to the Beastie Boys. And there we go. I'm like sometimes with such aggressive hip hop on this show, I'm like, okay, we'll do 5 seconds of the intro, and then my brain can't handle the.
You just need more aggressive hip hop training.
That's probably what it is. It is a very smart show, and yeah, I thought today was a smart episode. There was a lot of great things that I liked, but overall, I'm interested to hear what you guys thought of season 4, episode 4 of Silicon Valley. 5.
Yeah, I was like, I could talk about last week.
Pull up my notes from last week.
I thought it was good, you know. I mean, we'll obviously get into the specifics, but there was one sort of underlying theme that we've seen a couple times this season, and that's Gavin Balsam as a sympathetic character that you kind of feel bad for, even though clearly he's a bit of a dick. But at the same time, you know, even dicks have feelings. I just say that so that somebody could pull that audio out. I put it that way. But I thought that, you know, his arc so far this season's been kind of amazing. You know, watching the downfall of a guy that you probably would have rooted for his downfall in season one, but, you know, you definitely, you know, maybe you're not on his side, but you're like, oh, I feel a little bad for him right now.
For sure. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. It's nice to see him be developed as a character, and you still get... I mean, he is still that dick. You still and like you almost kind of get some of the motivation as to why he is that dick kind of a way. So that's where I think the sympathy kind of comes in. But yeah, I mean, I love the episode. I thought it was great to see Jin Yang again. You know, I thought the whole thing with Lori was really cool too. I like how they played that out. And you know, I've been looking forward to the Mia storyline like developing more. And they hit it out of the park.
I feel pretty confident we'll be getting more of the Mia story.
Oh,
I don't
100%.
Think it's over.
No.
But back to your point about Gavin, the best representation of him as who he is the sort of the meticulous detail he has of the garage for Peter Gregory's mother.
Oh my God.
And you're in there and he's showing it around. This is exactly the way it is. Everything was so simple. And then he opens the door and there's his, of course, giant rich guy garage with airplanes and crazy cars.
Helicopters.
And stuff. Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was great.
And, of course, another giant portrait of himself.
Yes.
You can never have too many portraits of Gavin Balsam, whether you're him or anyone else.
Yeah, I feel like we've mentioned it before, but like this was another example of how this show will do anything for a great visual gag and really honor the production designers, because that must have been a pretty expensive choice, that cold open to build a garage inside of a garage.
Yeah, my first thought when I saw it was like, holy crap, the detail.
Yeah.
Like it looks like just how you would imagine some crazy genius's, you know, garage to look like.
Right.
And I was like, oh, maybe this is going to be like a thing. They're going to do something here or something, because it looked like they really invested a lot of time into it. And then just for it to be part of that gag, it is impressive, the level of detail that they're willing to put in.
I mean, they probably didn't, you know, build that garage in that airplane hangar or whatever it was. They just had the door there.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, we can give credit for the attention to detail.
I'm
but it's
saying,
not,
I'm
it's
saying
it's
in
not
terms
as crazy.
I'm saying in terms of the garage itself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, it's both. And it's just, their dedication to make a joke happen is like something I so relish on this show because it's just awesome. It's like a true comedy show. Even stuff like, I don't know if you've noticed, but the door has the hole where Richard kicked.
Yes.
Just like, I really, really appreciate that they like they respect that stuff on set. It's funny. It sounds like you guys really liked this episode. I liked this episode. Maybe didn't love this episode. I love the development with Gavin, and I agree. But then I'm bummed that it seems like we're going to be missing out on Gavin. And I we hit the reset button again. It's like now we're back to square one with the guys in the incubator again. And I was kind of excited about the opportunities we had. But you disagree, Nate?
I mean, I was excited at the idea, I guess, too. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I got into that meeting and I saw the building and stuff, like, I knew that none of that was going to pan out. That would just be too, you know, easy for them to get that building and start progressing and stuff. I had a feeling that as soon as they saw the building, as soon as I saw the building, I was like, well, something's going to fall apart here because there's no way that this goes through like this.
I almost feel like I'm ready narratively to see something go through. I feel like we have gotten a more interesting side of Gavin, so I was enjoying... I enjoyed the idea of Richard and him actually interacting, and we might get that, but... Yeah, I thought this was a good episode, but maybe not my favorite of the season, which is... That's okay, but...
Well, obviously, the big loss for this episode was no Big Head.
I
love Professor Big Head, but... Right. You know, he has gotten a lot of time, but as you alluded to earlier, we did get Big Head. I mean, we got Jin Yang.
We got some Jin Yang,
which is good, and because he had...
Young Jonathan.
Ehrlich
was on fire.
It's a great
Ehrlich
episode, for sure.
Tons of good lines and moments. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Another thing that kind of disappointed me about the episode, and I'm interested to hear your guys' opinions on it, was I feel like they haven't done a lot with Monica this season. And what's interesting about this whole subplot is that, like, all of Monica's decisions and kind of, like, her agency, I guess, relied on other people. So, like, her decision to bro down with Ed Chang was something that Ehrlich said. Or, like, her decision to move companies was something that Lori said. And I just feel like I haven't really believed that Monica is actually a successful venture capitalist during this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll show you how lost she is right now that she's taking pointers from Ehrlich.
Right,
you know,
for
that's
sure.
something that we never would have seen her do earlier in the series. But she's you know, looking into the men's room, you know?
Right.
And I thought that the scene with her and Lori towards the end was great because... Mm-hmm. Of course, it's got some great jokes in there. You know, I've had four children. And she's like, four? And then, of course, Laurie also refers to her unborn child as this.
She's saying it about humans.
Yeah, and then, of course, the best part is saying that Monica's her best friend. Yeah. And even Monica's like,
her reaction.
So I think that the good Monica storyline, I think, would be coming. You're right. I don't think she's been particularly successful this season.
Right.
And, you know, early this season kind of justified why she was going to be sitting on the sidelines.
The only thing I want to point out about that scene also is the ninja line where she just flat out, no.
Yeah, she's like, you're fucking crazy super ninja. No.
Dead completely. Like, why would you say that? I'm not a ninja, obviously.
Suzanne Cryer is so good. I'm still trying to book her, but it's even the small stuff. I noticed during her baby shower, if you watched her in the background, she's just kind of looking around, sort of like a bird. Like, she's just...
I think when I watched it again the second time, knowing that she already knows, I think you can kind of tell in the way that she plays it that she's aware that they're trying to play her, and she's not really having it.
Well, once you know that she's had three children previously, I feel like she's probably been... There's been an attempt in the past to try and edge her out.
Yeah.
By the way, you were talking about Ehrlich being on fire, and this ties into Monica, because one of the lines that I wrote down because of how much I liked it. It was like, well, it's like you said, there's more dick in here than a synthetic pussy convention, which it's a great line. But then, of course, she's like, I didn't say anything remotely like that. And just Ehrlich's like, huh, as though he was really thought she had said that.
Genuinely confused.
Yeah. What I want to know is watching when we had Big Head on here and he was talking about all the outtakes and stuff. I really want to know how many other great things that he said to her that they didn't use, because I'm sure that was some real gold right there and hard to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, TJ Miller is such a gifted improviser. I'm sure you're right. I'm excited to see more from Monica because I think Amanda Crew is such a great actress, and I sort of liked her as the straight man earlier in the show as kind of the voice of reason, and to see her kind of being a little inept this season, I feel like I haven't like gotten on board with yet. But hopefully we are set up for something really interesting with her and Lori.
And so we just ignore that there were ever any kind of like romantic overtures between her and Richard, right?
I know.
Like not even like a moment. You'd think that he would still think about it. She'd probably legitimately have moved on. He just strikes you as someone who maybe would dwell on a little bit, but there's never really anything.
I think that's going to come back around once they actually reach some point of where Richard actually has a win.
Right.
You know, and gets in some success. And then I'm assuming with this, you know, plot line with them splitting off from Raviga, that she's going to have more success also, and things will be, you know, on the upswing for her as opposed to how they have been previously. I have a big suspicion that they're going to, those two things are going to come together, Richard's company and whatever Raviga split off.
Because yeah, I do too. I agree. It's interesting. I feel like authentic, like a genuine, earnest, romantic plot has never been explored in this show. Do you guys think it's something that the show should explore? Do you think it would work?
I mean, I think it could work, and, you know, at this point, you're four seasons in, you just assume there'd be a fifth. At some point, you figure you can explore that in the world of this show and see how it works and whether it does or doesn't. But so far, relationships are usually only played up for comedic reasons, like Dinesh.
For sure.
And Guilfoyle, by the way, another great line from the show. Hey, it's Osama bin fucking.
Let's go ahead and talk about Dinesh and Mia, now that you brought it up. You were excited about this, Nate. I know you've wanted to see Dinesh and Mia play it, like, played out a little bit. Did this episode satisfy your cravings for that?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Just, cause, you know, I'm a big Guilfoyle fan. So anybody that Guilfoyle regards as a threat, there's some real darkness there, right? So already being set up for what is going to inevitably happen when the relationship goes south, as they always do.
Right.
I was very excited to see how far they could take it. Yeah, when she comes in with the bags and with the food, and they go into the kitchen, and she's like, you know, after they had their talk, and Guilfoyle's like, you still haven't told her? And you're like, oh, we haven't talked about it. Oh, I mean, we literally just discussed it right now.
Yeah, the way he delivered it was like, well, it was just held up in the conversation a minute ago, therefore we did just discuss it.
Right.
Martin Starr is so good.
He's always so matter of fact when he's basically obliterating
his timing
argument.
Is just like, because it's so deadpan and straightforward, but the way he spaces the words, like, it's hard to describe, but he just does it like fantastically.
Yeah, this show does a good job of like making like closet badass characters, like Lori Bream, for example, like mother of four, who's like smarter than all the dudes, or like Guilfoyle, who's this tech nerd who's just like savage. Like, I just, that's what I like about the show, is it's not your conventional badass characters, but they're all in there.
Yeah, but seeing them together in that scene in the beginning, I wasn't sure if that was just another like nod to, oh, this is still going on kind of thing, or if it was going to play out
later.
But later, when, you know, when he comes in and, you know, with the phones
and freezer,
and I'm just going to continue, and shuts the freezer, and then, you know, confesses about how he can't do it anymore and how she's going to kill him
or get him killed,
which is probably more likely.
Did we find out how Dinesh tipped off the FBI?
No,
I
think
some anonymous
that,
tip.
Yeah, I mean,
I
think when the FBI shows up and he immediately gets up, he's like, "Oh, I'll take care of this." It was pretty clear.
Just the way that he says it too, like, "Oh, gentlemen of the FBI, you know, how did you get here? Someone must have anonymously tipped you, whoever that was."
You can be sure that one person who will figure out what happened, it's Mia.
That's exactly
we're gonna find out
up.
Exactly how because
she'll know all about it. But of course, you know, we had a great line as sort of all of this is going on, because Jared said pillow talk is the best part.
Yes.
And he's just so sensitive, although a little bit less sensitive as we go on.
I do have to argue that I think Guilfoyle's response was better when he said, the worst part is after the sex, and he goes, oh, when you have to apologize. Again, another perfectly deadpan.
Yeah, that's true.
Just like fired right away.
Yeah, but everything before it is foreplay, guys.
Which it seems so Jared, too.
Yeah.
Like,
Should we talk about Jared? This was an interesting Jared episode.
A big Jared moment. Yeah. Oh, yeah. First of all, let's talk about Donald. Well, we haven't even really addressed Blood Boy.
I know. Maybe we start. I mean, we've talked Mia, Dinesh, we've talked Lori and a little bit of Relic. But let's go
ahead
and focus.
Blood Boy will lead to Jared.
Blood Boy will lead to Jared. So at the very beginning, right off the top, we mentioned the garage. And then, of course, we're back in Gavin's house, and they're discussing the future of the company. and Richard's conducting a meeting. Let's first talk about this discussion. This was a very interesting, I think, encapsulation of Gavin's approach to tech and Richard's approach to tech. Richard, of course, wants to roll out this product slowly in a stealth fashion and kind of make it a slow word-of-mouth rollout. And Gavin is pushing for this big rollout. I just thought this was a very interesting way for the writers to kind of microcosmically explain both of their characters. And this show's good at that. But then during the meeting, Gavin decides to undergo a routine that he's been doing the last who knows how long with his blood boy, Bryce, who is typical of the Aryan Hitler youth. Is how
yes,
he's
I believe that's exactly what he said.
Yeah. Say it looks like a Nazi propaganda poster.
That's what it was, butchering that line. This was such a funny satire on like life extension,
sure,
which is a real thing in Silicon Valley right now. Like, I don't know if you guys have been reading about this, but it's like we're not that far from people being able to pay to extend their life. So I just, what did you guys think of this, introducing this blood boy as...
I mean, the concept is so funny, you know, and you just feel like, oh yeah, Gavin is definitely the guy, because he's willing to use anything to, you know, extend his life, make himself better, you know, he has the sort of the new age mysticism element to him. He's literally being a vampire,
right?
You know, so I thought it was very funny as a gag, but then actually as a story point, it was also really interesting.
Yeah, you're probably referring to the reversal of like type, how Bryce was victimized by his attractive appearance.
Yeah, you know, look, us really attractive people, I don't know why you're laughing. We deal with that all the time. People don't take us seriously, and you know, we really, it's hard to be so beautiful as Bryce Cannon.
Yeah, this was, I have this actor's name somewhere. His first name was Graham. He's on IMDb. I really, really liked his performance. I thought they did a good job casting this, and I think it's really important when you're casting the dumb jock in a comedy show, you've got to cast someone who can do comedy. And I thought he had good timing, and this was a good performance for him, I thought. Were you guys surprised by this twist of, like... I mean, obviously, it was turned on its head twice, but I just was very pleasantly surprised when Richard was called out for judging Bryce. Like, I just thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was completely sold. I think I kind of smelled a little bit of BS in that situation. But it was funny in the way that they turned it around from, obviously, his half-ass apology. Mm-hmm. It didn't work.
Right.
And he just goes off on him.
Yeah. When we come back and see Bryce later in the episode, we find out that, of course, he's just a huge stoner and everything he had claimed wasn't true, and he's just using this as a way to make money. And yeah, I mean, I just thought this whole, I don't know how realistic it is to the actual world of Silicon Valley, but I feel like acting is a kind of satire of people's obsessions with extending their lives was pretty interesting. Oh, here we go.
Graham Rogers.
Our producer in the booth. Ronnie, thank you very much.
And also once Gavin realizes, you know, that he had his blood tested, and he's like, I'll be dead by the age of 120. And of course, Richard's like,
oh,
I'm so sorry.
No. Terrible news.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny the way it all played out.
And, yeah.
You know, it's another one of those examples how on the show things are not what they seem. But
it was perfect stoner comedy. Yeah. He comes in, oh, your eyes look a little bit red. Oh, yeah. I got allergies. Really? This season, that's weird.
You seem a little paranoid there.
Yeah, paranoid. What? No. And then he reveals all the snacks, and he goes, oh, those are for my guests, for my fat guests.
Yeah, my fat guests. But then this does bring us around to Jared, which I'm interested in, because as people who watch the show know, Jared is basically Jeff's spirit animal. So when he blew up like that, what did you think?
You know, well, Jared and I have a lot in common. I don't know if you knew this, but I also have slept with the owner of a retirement community, my friend Muriel. Yeah. So
we spent the whole first show this season talking about it. We all know.
The question is, do you regret it? No. Okay.
For those who are listening,
He's aggressively shaking his head no.
Gosh, Zach Woods is so talented, and it's those choices again. Like, he could have, I bet on set that was something, he may have been directed that way, but am I proud of it? No. Do I regret it? The obvious choice would have just been to say no again.
Yeah.
But the amazing, surprising choice was just for him to shake his head. I was just, like, almost moved by that choice by Zach Woods.
It was very emotive.
The big moment that we had kind of predicted last week was we do get shades of Jared's freakout.
Yeah.
I was hoping for some violence or like a weapon to be drawn or something.
I think it's still coming. A momentary, you know, he's like, nope, it's all right. You know, he was able to dial it back down.
What did you just say, you dick? Is that what he said?
Fuck you!
No, he's like, you dick, fuck you!
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but of course, you know, it's like we get that moment, but then also just the fact that Blood Boy just casually calls him Donald, and he's like, it's Jared now.
Yeah, like it's like it's a normal
just
thing.
Roll right through that, you know?
Oh, man.
Well, the look on Bryce's face, too, of kind of like, oh, okay. Like, he's obviously seen him around from before when he was with Gavin, and he was, you know, how Gavin treated him.
Yeah. Well, and the other Jared moment we get is after the freak out, he's like, I'm so sorry, Richard. Did I frighten you? I haven't heard the word frightened used in, like, a year. Yeah, good, great Jared episode. I'm trying to think if there's any other specific Jared moments. There wasn't necessarily a plot about him this episode, but he was just kind of tied in everywhere.
But he's a very versatile utility player. He can come into any storyline and deliver.
It's kind of been the whole season. We haven't really had any specific plot developments with Jared, but he's just kind of been the icing on the cake in almost every scene. It's a really strategic way to use him from a writerly perspective, I'd say.
I think they're moving him up a little bit more from just, like, sidekick to like team member, if that makes any sense. Like he's actually on the team.
Yeah, he's not still nobody's friend, but he's still a part of their team.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he's just so weird.
Just
no
too
offense,
weird.
Jeff.
That's okay. I mean, I know that's how the dynamic of the panel is as well.
Kind of.
For those listening, I'm sitting here alone on this camera, and those two are over there partnering.
That's why
so.
Phil's been gone for a few
weeks.
He
can't side of the table.
With you.
Can't even be around me anymore. We do have a Phil Svitek back next week, just so y'all know. So we will have four once again. What are we missing? I guess Ehrlich. We did learn a lot more about his marijuana habits.
You mean his suitcase?
His suitcase. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
We got some Barbara Bush. We got some, was it Billy Bush as well?
No, Barbara Bush Jr.
Barbara Bush Jr. Yeah. A lot of marijuana.
Yeah, and you know, each time that Monica tried to take one, it was actually, no, that's actually for my stigmatism. It's like, oh, that one's for a real freak out. That's in case of emergency if there's an earthquake.
Yeah.
I want to know what that strain is.
Yeah,
and
that's
true. Have to put some of that in my emergency kit. You know, got to be safe from California.
Got to be safe. You know, it's funny. We've talked about a lot of the comedy in this episode, a lot of the character moments in this episode. But in terms of development, I don't know if we got a ton. I'm trying to think of like what I've missed in terms of our coverage so far.
It's a very small move down the game board, you know. Sort of the storyline actually advances fairly slowly. Although then there's sort of the big reveal at the end when, as we alluded to, you know, Gavin just basically freaks out. He doesn't even freak out. He just needs to take some time away.
I thought he was gonna like off himself there for a minute. Pretty dark.
When he calls Richard from the roof of the building, or where, you
can
tell he's outside. I was like, he's not gonna. They're not gonna have him jump.
Yeah, that would be really dark.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's actually when he was on the runway, but it looked like he was on the roof.
Yeah, it looked
of
like
building.
He was outside.
So I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for that right
he
now.
Goes,
and this comedy show, this guy jumping to his death.
Yeah, they might have been setting us up to expect that.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, but yeah, did this surprise you guys? Gavin's coming of age moment.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the amount of like emotional distress that we've seen him be in lately, I guess it kind of makes sense for him to have some type of exit so they can kind of reset his character.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, it really wouldn't make sense for them to be doing well and him to just bounce back and everything be fine. And I think the way that they played the Bryce line, the storyline around so that it would actually end up having a big impact, causing him to leave and all that, causing all the issues that it had, was really cool.
Yeah.
And in regards to just what we were talking about, the overall plot progression, it definitely is slow. But in my opinion, I'm okay with it because I feel like it's an accurate representation of the industry.
Yeah.
In that all of these startup companies, all of these big CEOs had multiple failures, multiple false starts, multiple things that didn't take off, that they tried again, then they did something different, then they did something different, and then eventually they hit the jackpot and they get really successful. So I'm thinking that we're reaching that point, especially with him getting the patent and Gavin leaving, means he has full control, plus we have the thing with Raviga splitting off, so maybe they can get some type of funding there.
Yeah.
So I think that the things are starting to align for them to reach some type of progress. Of course, I think when that does happen, obviously there'll still be some type of issues that happen, otherwise there'll be no show.
Right.
But I do think we are reaching a point of some type of major plot turn.
Mm-hmm. You're right. I mean, I've heard it described that, like, running a startup is basically putting out fires and, like, you're inches away from complete collapse until the acquisition, when in a heartbeat everything changes. And I think you're right that the show might be boring if they started to find success. I think I'm interested in some kind of surprising failure, if that makes sense. Like, I just feel like at this point it's an expectation that they'll have to reset and, like, go back to ground zero. So I'd like some kind of freshness injected into the hurdles they face, if that makes sense. Because mm-hmm. I think we can still face those hurdles without it having be the same kind of narrative over and over again.
Well, it seems like the hurdle this season won't be Gavin, which yeah. you know, a lot of times it has been. So true. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, and I guess this is the halfway point of the season, right? Because there's 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. So we've got the next month and change to see where it all goes. Mm-hmm. In terms of Gavin, by the way, and he, you know, he's evolved a little bit, but I love when Richard said, "Oh, you would have done the same for me." He's like, "Oh no, I would have let you bleed to death.
Bleed
in the
street."
Yeah. So it's like, you know, he's not that far yeah. off from the Gavin.
I love to Gavin's line where when he's on the phone with him and he's like, why are you so mean to the calls them service people or help staff or something?
Oh, yeah.
You're probably really mean to waiters too.
I'm awesome to waiters.
In my mind, just picturing like. There's no world, being a waiter myself, there's no world where I imagine waiting on Gavin Belson and he's nice to you. There's no, from what I have seen, like, there's no way right. that happens. Yeah. Maybe he thinks that he acts that way and it makes himself feel good.
But he could be the kind of guy that leaves the 100% tip.
Right,
out of complete guilt.
Yeah.
Right now, yeah,
yeah. I mean, he could definitely afford it, too.
Right, yeah. But that's another one of those moments when he says to Richard, "You're probably, you know, mean to waiters," where, like we talked about a few weeks ago, you're like, yeah, you know, Gavin's really insightful when it comes to Richard. Richard is kind of a dick, too, just
yeah.
in his own way. You
well,
know?
He has that, like, completely socially inept
right.
thing of where, like, he's not trying to be a dick. He just
yeah.
doesn't realize that he's being a dick, which a lot of those super smart tech people have.
Yeah.
But I think it's you're hit the nose on the head. It actually is a thing there. And I think that may, you know, if we do, that's something I would like to see if we do reach that success point of them actually doing well,
mm-hmm.
of like, well, how does that success actually affect them? Does
right.
Richard, like, just instantly go down the Gavin path and, like, you know, be super smart and successful, but just start being crazy and a dick to everybody?
Yeah,
that'd
I think
really cool to see.
That's part of the reason I was actually interested in the Richard-Gavin dynamic is because, like, Richard doesn't realize it, but sometimes he actually is looking in the mirror when he's talking to Gavin, even if he's not aware of it. So I just thought that was really interesting. And I don't think we've seen the end of Gavin this season. And I guess this could lead into some potential predictions. Shall we move on to that segment?
Let's do it.
Well, we have to talk about the end here, okay?
Oh,
because
yeah.
not only was it a great callback, it was a 2-week wait callback for that, the greatest dick pic of them all.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
At the end,
that was brilliant.
I was
yeah.
dying
yeah.
when he said that, because I was like, the picture, okay, I guess it's kind of funny he sent the picture, what's the point here? You know
right.
Richard wrote the algorithm, he knows all that stuff. Dinesh comes out, who's got two thumbs and no dick pics. Oh man, that was just priceless. I just had to
I'm glad you
some,
did
give
yeah,
that
yeah.
some attention,
give it some
was,
love.
They worked for that one.
I guess with that, if there's nothing else, Ronnie, drop that predictions bumper. Ronnie. And now,
I predict that Ronnie will play the production bumper.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
That was pretty good.
That was
now,
there it is.
Oh, it's like an echo in here.
Yeah. The question is, was that actually us just doing it a second time?
Yeah,
are
right.
we that good?
I'll let people know it was. You're that good.
So the reason I was excited to jump into predictions is because I do want to talk about Gavin's fate. Do you guys think we've seen the end of Gavin Belson for season 4 of Silicon Valley?
No.
What do we think is going to happen?
What do you think?
I'm thinking that we're going to get some type of bidding war or something between whatever the Rovigo split-off is and Russ Hanneman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the last moment of the last episode of the season, Gavin's going to come back and either, like, save them from something or cause some issue or something. I don't think we're going to see him for the rest of the season, but
yeah.
I do think he'll come back, if not in the finale, the beginning of next season or something. I'm 100% certain we will see him again, but I think that they have given him an exit for a considerable amount of time.
I think my expectation is a little bit different from that, that we won't see him for a few weeks, that he'll actually be in the final episode, but not in the last couple minutes. I think that everything's going to be ready to fall into place. They'll have it all sorted out, and then Gavin comes back in, and there's some hiccup because he's there. You know, so they had figured it out, But I think that, you know, obviously they like the character so much. We'll definitely see him again before too long. You know, they can only have him gone for so many weeks.
Well, especially with the way that he left, too. Like, it's when we see him next, we're expecting to see some type of character change because he specifically went to, you know, he actually reached some type of point where you're like, you know, maybe I could change some things about myself. So when he comes back, that's why I think they may reach some situation where it's like, how are they going to get out of it? And then here comes, you know, magic Gavin Belson to actually help them for once, you know?
Yeah, I kind of wonder if we're going to see, like, this coming to Jesus moment with Gavin where maybe he does become this, like, altruist and, like, someone who, like, really wants to change his ways and, like, sees an enlightened path or something. I don't know, but I could see the character or the writers making a choice like that with this character, because Matt Ross like plays a very interesting like hippie too. We've seen in the past, so I don't know. It's hard to know right now, but I agree with you guys. He's going to be back in some capacity, and he will play into the plot in some major way. What else in terms of predictions? I mean, obviously Pied Piper is still going to face hurdles. We just don't necessarily know from where. I'm wondering if we might see Action Jack Barker. I mean, I guess they're not really tied to Hooli in any way now.
I think we'll see him again, you know, because it'll be some sort of competition angle.
Right.
But I don't know that we'll see him in the next few weeks. And I also feel like we said earlier that Mia will be back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
She will not be with doing time.
Yes.
And,
I think we're going to get a few episodes of silence, but she will definitely come back with a vengeance.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm excited for Guilfoyle's response, but then, of course, Dinesh's terror, too.
Yeah.
But just because since we're on predictions, you guys watch the teaser for next week, too.
Yeah, yes.
That, I think, is also interesting to see that Dinesh and Guilfoyle are getting into it again. We're getting some good back and forth between them.
Yeah.
But I think that could become a big plot point in terms of the company, especially since they're trying to reform and going through all the, whatever changes they're going to have to go through now. With the two of them butting heads, that really is not going to help.
Right, and they made a specific moment to show Dinesh asking to come back, and I feel like they wouldn't have highlighted that if it wasn't going to lead to a plot development further down the line. So I agree with you, Nate. Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, I'm excited about Monica and Lori. I'm excited to see Monica, I think, take agency over her kind of path, because I believe that she's good at her job. We just haven't really seen it this season. And, yeah, I just feel like, to me, her character's been a bit lost in terms of, like, how she functions in the show. I don't know. I think we haven't seen the end of Jin Yang either, but...
No, I don't know.
Definitely
clearly.
Not. I mean, yeah.
We saw him right away in this episode.
He's living in the house, not paying any rent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be there to just rub it in Ehrlich's face.
Yes.
Yeah, even if that's all we see him do, is just sort of be an irritant to Bachman. We will definitely see
him. I'm really hoping that we're going to get some type of development with Ehrlich, because especially after the seafood thing kind of fell apart, he's just kind of existing now, which is fine. It fits his character.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see him either have some type of side plot line or at least some more involvement in some of the main plots that are going on.
I agree. Yeah, I think Bachmanity was my favorite B plot of last season, and like seeing him and Bighead work so closely together was so funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd love to see some of that as well. It's just all these characters get shit on, like that's kind of the thesis of the show, but watching TJ Miller get shit on is just like especially fun because Ehrlich is just so over the top.
Well, and that's even what I was going to say when we were talking about the thing with Richard and what's her name?
Monica. Yeah.
And how, like, yes, in most TV shows, you would expect some type of, like, relationship something between them, but this is not that kind of show.
Right.
It's just, if it did happen, it would feel so forced, especially with the companies not really being involved anymore.
Right.
And the connection, it's not like they have, like, this amazing chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they realize they never should have gone there in the first place,
and that's why they
abandoned it.
But I think that's what
happened. You just feel like it's something that he probably still, when he's not, you know, coding in his head, it's
and
probably
that's why
something he still thinks
I
about.
I think it could happen eventually. I think it could come back to it, but I'm glad that they're not, like, trying to force it into something that we've dealt with them being on again, off again for four seasons already.
The show, I feel like first season was like 80% broad cynicism, 20% earnestness, and like I feel like the show has shifted, like those percentages have gotten further and further away as we've gone on, which is, I think, is great. You know, there's plenty of comedies with heart on TV, and this show has a little bit of it, which I appreciate, but for the most part it's just very broad and satirical, which is, I think, what the show wants to be. So any other predictions for next week, y'all? I think we're missing.
I feel like at some point, Dinesh is going to look like he's about to cry just because that's most weeks.
We're going to get more Big Head, too.
Yeah.
Especially since we didn't see him now.
Yeah, you can't, go 2 weeks in a row without
it's
Big Head.
Just cruel.
I got to know what's going to happen with his teaching position.
Oh, I know. Absolutely.
And his students and their seafood company.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We didn't see any of that.
Something's got to happen with that.
Yeah.
There's no way they let that go.
I agree. We're going to see some of that before the end of the season. Well, ladies and gentlemen, with that, that is the Silicon Valley After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. This is our coverage for Season 4, Episode 5, Blood Boy. For those listening, we also do a live streaming video version of this every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific. So we'd love for you guys to tune in and join the live chat. We've had some commenters on our videos, which is really appreciated. And if you guys like what you hear, go ahead and hop on. There it is.
That's everybody in the chat right now.
That's all five of them. If you guys like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you guys like what you see, go ahead and hop on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Give us some feedback. We'd love it. In the meantime, y'all, my name is Jeff Graham. If you guys want to find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham. For those who are interested, I host a show on Fridays called The Unproduced Table Read. And the first episode of that show, it's a show where we table read unproduced scripts. And we read a fast-paced drama about life extension in Silicon Valley. So if that thing in the episode interested you, I'd highly recommend that podcast. That's The Unproduced Table Read. You guys, take us out.
I'm Christian Blatt, at Christian DMZ. I do the Trump Report on Tuesdays, Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Fridays here at AfterBuzz.
Hey guys, I'm Nate Miller. You can find me at social media at DogLikeNate. I also host the Better Call Saul show, and this week I'll be guesting on the Dear White People After Show.
Nice. Cool. Well, in the meantime, guys, this has been Silicon Valley. We'll see you next week, 4 p.m. here at AfterBuzz TV. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.